Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus, that's Sarah.
It's me.
And that's Chris.
Ciao.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all have hobbies, interests and loves. It would be a boring world if we all held the same viewpoints and were into similar things, but it would make the world easier to understand. Today, we're answering this question. What are the most overrated things in life?
I'm going to say being right. And I mean like in a normal conversation, not in terms of like capital punishment is wrong. but like, do you know like when you're in a pub with friends or whatever, and like you're having a chat and someone just needs to be right. And it just is, I often find it boring. Mm. Like I find it stunts conversation, or it becomes about that person being right. So I would say being right is very overrated. I will choose not to be right. Mm. Or no, I choose actually swallowing my pride just for the sake of a relationship.
Yeah.
And then being right.
That sounds like the words of a man who's seldom right. can't quite get over that final hurdle, eh? Fly the white flag. No, I know what you're saying. I would
choose friendship with you, Marcus, over correcting you.
Well, again, you know, I would never enter a contest with an unarmed man, or a fight rather. But, I know what you mean. It's particularly frustrating, Sarah, would you say, in the age of social media?
Yeah.
I really applaud that, Chris, but I get really frustrated when someone just refuses mm-hmm. to admit that they might be wrong.
Yeah.
And it's just like I can't, I mean, I'm a lover, not a fighter, so I don't want to have a big argument about it, but it really bothers me when I'm just like, no, but you are wrong. Like you are.
Mind how you go with
that. Let that go.
Mind how you go with saying I'm a lover, not a fighter. You know who else said that quite famously?
Oh no, who?
Michael Jackson.
It's a song.
Michael Jackson.
Oh no.
I do know what you mean though about being right, Chris. I think nowadays, I think I basically, I sort of sit myself on the fence and try and sort of say to people, okay, yeah, but just don't be so passionate about that, and you just come to. But actually, that can be a bit of a crap position to take sometimes as well, because you sort of don't stand for anything. Yeah. Although I bloody well do, but yeah, I think with someone who has to be right, you just want them to admit that there are shades of grey in life.
Mm. Yes, and that's a brilliant way of putting it. There is grey in life, but I think everything feels so polarised now. Maybe that's why I'm like, can we just not have to be right? Because things do seem so polarised. I'm probably talking mainly politics, but that invades the rest of our lives. And so therefore, where is that grey area, that nuance, that discussion to be able to kind of, you know... And we're in a pluralistic society where everybody claims to have their own truth, so it's quite hard to then say that you're right all the time.
Yeah,
exactly. So why don't we just learn to engage better instead of just being needing to be right? Just feels very overrated.
Yeah, but like Michael
and unappreciated.
Like Michael Jackson, we need to be lovers, not fighters, Sarah. To put words into your gob,
or a smooth criminal.
Don't do that.
Or don't.
In hindsight, I'm not so sure I appreciate that song.
Was Michael Jackson overrated? I don't think he was, actually. I think we could produce some fine music. But there we are, moving on from him swiftly. Sarah, anything that you think is overrated in this thing we call life?
I'm going to take it in a slightly different direction. Mm-hmm. I think Prosecco is overrated.
Ooh! I never would have seen that coming from you.
I love that.
Look, people, there's this almost like cult around Prosecco. Like, the amount of Prosecco related merchandise you can buy, the signs, the t-shirts, it's Prosecco o'clock. Like, I'm Prosexy and I know it. Like,
amazing. I've not heard that. I've not seen any of this.
You can buy Prosecco flavoured crisps. You can buy Prosecco flavoured anything. Yeah. And I just, it's nice. I will happily have a lovely glass of Prosecco. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. A vat.
But the way people go on about it is as if it's this elixir of life. I just don't understand the obsession with it.
Chris makes a sort of a, maybe a more bordering on a sort of a philosophical point. I think speech is overrated. Yeah. philosophical point about, you know, sort of beer, right? You're just like, who are these idiots that like this stuff that sort of masquerades as champagne? Of course, it bloody isn't, you know.
It's not, you know, as I say, hey, I like it, but it's overrated. Like, come on, people. It's just not that great.
Yes. And in the spirit of when we talked about, when we talked about overhyped films in a previous episode. So we won't have any film chat today, in case that's what you were hoping for. You can go back and listen to a previous episode not that long ago when we discussed films that were overrated. Just because you think something is overrated doesn't mean to say that you necessarily think it's bad or you don't like it. You just think it's okay, but the way you're going on about it is if I don't have a complete life if I don't drink this crap.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good point. I mean, it's interesting. There's a website called lifehack.org. Again, normally when I do my research, I don't know anything about this website. It could be some sort of alt-right website or something, you know.
Spawn of Breitbart.
Yeah, it isn't. I do stress. I did an ounce of, good workings and so on. And they listed a few things that they felt were overrated. And being right was in there, Chris.
Yeah.
Prosecco there wasn't, because I think that they're trying to be a little bit deeper. They're trying to...
I do appreciate you saying that, though, Sarah.
Sarah's face there. I wish the listeners could have seen that.
Look, I was thinking maybe it's because I've been to all the hen parties, and there's always something Prosecco-related with hen parties. Just, this is deep, Marcus. This runs deep.
It runs deep.
Do you feel
deep.
Like it's a lack of originality, Sarah? They basically cotton onto one thing, and then they've tried to just over-brand it, over-hype it, and you're like, guys, this is a bit... It's
just
a good
drink.
Yeah, but yeah, let's not make bum bags out of it. Yeah,
exactly.
Or fanny packs, as they say in America. quite brilliantly, yeah. It never ceases to amuse me, that, when I go there.
Fanny packs are overrated.
Well, in an English sense, I've never seen one. But going back to Lifehack,
Again, if people are going to see Sarah's face...
Oh, it's been a long day, guys.
their first one on their list was growing up.
Ah. Mm. Do you know what?
I can see that. Yeah.
It's a bit... Having your own independence is good. You wouldn't go back to sort of not being allowed out past a certain time or whatever.
Do you know what I mean? Well, I once heard someone say that being a teenager, because you know you're always told the teenage years are your best of your life. Mm. And I can't remember who it was like, it was terrible. You got picked on, had spots, didn't know who I was.
Probably
all that stuff. Yeah, probably was you in a previous episode. But like, you got told that's the best time. So that's probably definitely over the hype.
Well, I think that was maybe like your sort of baby bloomer generation who would say school are the best years of your life. Because they would finish school, or maybe not, maybe even our grandparents, they would finish school, and then it was like right down the pits or mines or whatever. And then that was you until you could walk no more, and then you get a little pension, and then there you go. Whereas nowadays, obviously, life is a bit different. And also now, with
our generation refuses to grow up.
Well, there is that, yeah. Chris, definitely. Back in those days, you know, 16, maybe 18, you were an adult, whereas now... People say it's 21. It's not. It's 30 for a lot of people, depending on where you are in the country and a lot of other people. Some people married with kids, before 30, of course. But I think in London, there's certainly a bit of the Peter Pan syndrome, which I've very much enjoyed for many years. But I think there's on a similar note, weddings was another one, which, again, I disagree with, because I've been to some very, very good weddings.
I agree with that. I think they can be a bit, people put too much on them and they can sort of turn it into something it doesn't need to be. But I think in general, a wedding is great. I love a wedding.
Yeah. Well, they dropped a bollock with their third one because they said holidays. I was like, where are you going on holiday? Don't also, change your destination.
Also, don't you say that to me when there. I've not been on holiday for more than a year, thanks to coronavirus. Like, I would literally take a holiday to like the other side of London right now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Job-related concerns, you know, sort of working too much, too hard. I do agree that, with that, I think.
That was actually, when I was thinking ahead to this episode, that was one of mine. But kind of, you know, there's this sort of thing of like grind culture of kind of like, yeah, get up at five and I'm just like working and, you know, all this kind of thing.
Yeah,
I think that's really overrated. Like, I think some like one of the listeners did message in saying about like focusing on your career too much. Like, it's, don't get me wrong, like, it's important to earn money. It's great to have a good job that you do well at. Fine. But it's not really the be-all and end-all.
I think people boasting about how hard they work is a load of nonsense.
Oh, no.
Can't stand that. You know, trust the process. You know, you get out what you put in. Really? Really? Yeah? That's just... Anyway, that is a different podcast on, you know.
I feel like that you could do a show on that.
Do you hate a motivational poster, Marcus? You know, conquer and things like that. Mountains. People like climbing up mountains with like inspirational messages underneath. You're like, well, no, I'm all right. I'll stay at the bottom.
Yeah, maybe. But in the spirit of what we're doing, do I think that's overrated? I don't think people particularly rate motivational things, do they?
Like particularly. No, I was just asking you a side question.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, they can all get stuffed. The life, going back to the list here, university and the pressure of getting a degree. I think, in quite a literal sense, I think degrees are overrated because unless it's quite specific, does it really help anybody get a job these days? Maybe it does. I don't know. It's been a while since I got my degree and whatnot, but I do think university is brilliant. I had a great time there. I don't think it's overrated at all. I think we've rated it quite well.
I think the value of a degree in terms of like, I feel like, so I mean, I graduated a little bit later than you guys, but like when I graduated, it was, if you didn't have an undergraduate degree, there was no point in applying.
But for your line of
work, it didn't really
work.
Matter what your degree was or like what got in it and that kind of thing. So yeah, I'm gonna say I loved university. I thought it was great, but I think maybe the value of a degree is overrated.
Possibly, quite possibly.
Yeah, and I think I think you said at the start with that point, it's the pressure to go and do it, and I think doing it at 18 or 19 is overrated. I think take some time out, like until you're ready to study and you're ready to do it. I think that's what needs to be said more, because otherwise, I know quite a few people have had multiple degrees and they're still, obviously, they're paying those debts off. And they probably should have just waited a few years, figured out what they wanted to do, and then studied that instead of the pressure to, I'm 18, 19, I've got to go to university because I've got to get a degree, otherwise I can't get a job. Like, that's just silly. Don't do it. It costs too much money now. Like, just make sure you know what you want to study.
Yeah. I think one of the other ones, you could link it to this as well, which they had in their list, was finishing first, which I think I interpret that as...
loser speak.
Yes. I think that... oh dear, it's definitely an England fan talking there.
Spurs fan.
Very good. I sort of interpret that as comparing yourself to others, really. You should just sort of be happy where, you know, a bit like, you know, if you, I don't know, you run a marathon, unless you're, I mean, again, there's fine like how you interpret this. Clearly, if you're going for gold or something and you think you can do it, then you're going to be a touch disappointed. But in the general, if you're going to run a marathon, you shouldn't sort of compare yourself. I did mine in, you know, four hours 45 minutes or something. Oh, but he did his in 4 hours 15 minutes. Oh, it's not like, just sometimes be happy with, be content with what you've done.
Yeah.
Because as they say, even if you finish first in the rat race, remember, you're still a rat.
Thanks for the encouragement.
Oh, it's been motivational, hasn't it?
That's lifehack.org.
That sort of chat reminds me of the time we had Ruth on the show. And basically what I figured out is you guys just don't want to do work. So Sarah, like, I don't want to do grind. I was just like, oh my gosh, like, you guys just sound like you have no motivation for anything.
Work is overrated. There's no two ways about that, Chris. I Well, actually, you know what? I don't genuinely believe that, because actually, if you sit around the house and you do no work, like a lot of people have had to do, you realise that you've got to have a bit of an interest in life, or you've got to do something.
Got to have a purpose.
Well, we are made for many things, and working is one of them, Chris. You would say that, wouldn't you, with your vicar hat on? You don't really
We're made
hats.
For good works. Good as I think works. As well. The good scripture says, as long as it's good, I'm behind that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's interesting. Whereas Esquire magazine, they had a load of things about, you know, things that are overrated. I couldn't believe how many I disagreed with.
Oh, go on.
One of them, and I'll only just take one because we'll be here all day. Buffets or buffets, they said, were overrated. And I was like, you lot are idiots.
Are you high?
Yeah. Yeah, but surely
the buffet's amazing.
Sarah, honestly, have you ever been to like a Brazilian Rodizio?
Yeah, you took me there.
No, but I need to.
Oh, yeah, Chris, we went to the one near me. It is the kingdom of heaven right there. It's magnificent.
A buffet, there's always going to be something you want there. You can go back for more. The variety.
I know. One thing I did agree with, though, was they thought that VIP sections in clubs were overrated. And I thought, I can get behind that.
Yeah, fine. Okay. Yeah.
Chris doesn't agree with that. You like the VIP area.
No, I'm still trying to phrase how, Sarah, you sounded so Welsh when you were talking about buffets. They are not overrated.
We are recording not long after St. David's Day, to be fair.
I was thinking, when Sarah's like proper passionate, the Welsh comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, VIPs in clubs. I mean, I wouldn't know. I've never been to a VIP area in a club.
Bollocks.
So, yeah.
You bloody lie. You blagged your way into one in Fashion Week many times.
Yeah, that was a VIP event, but I've never been to an area in a club, like one of those cornered off areas.
Okay,
anywhere you go is a VIP area, Chris.
Thank you. There you go, yeah.
Yeah, true. Chris, anything else that leaps to mind? Have you got another one there?
I mean, it's a silly one, but I think asparagus. Like, I just think it's tasteless. And I feel like maybe it's just my wife. It's my wife. If she's listening to this, it's overrated, darling. I don't want to eat it anymore. I can't tell you in person because I'm slightly scared.
Can I just jump in, by the way, in case anyone's outraged? Chris is a very good cook, and he does cook at home quite a lot of the time. So, you know.
Do you find that there are foods, people bang on about certain foods, and then you eat it and you're like, it's a bit nothing. It's like,
I have so many foods that I feel that way about.
Join in. This is a food section.
Here we go.
Yeah. Okay, this is the, right. Truffle. You know when people are like, truffle oil, truffle mac and cheese, truffle fries. Like, because it's like, it's this, maybe it's the Prosecco thing again, of it's like, oh, it's so bougie and like a taste of luxury. And actually it's just like, it just tastes a bit weird,
like,
and
caviar
putting it on
or
everything.
Like
Or exactly.
Oysters. You're just drinking seawater with some.
Like, once again, it's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm just not going to rant and rave about it.
Yeah. Sarah, do we have any correspondence on this? I'd imagine we would.
We certainly do. And there's a lot of food ones.
Oh, yes.
All right. To kick us off, Chris J.W.
Yep.
Bacon. Says he thinks sausages are far superior.
He's comparing and contrasting there. Is he saying that...
Yeah.
You can't say, I think it's overrated because I think this thing is better.
Mm, yeah, fair. But I do think there is this sort of kind of... You know, like, kind of like I mentioned with Prosecco, this kind of, isn't bacon amazing? Oh, I could never be a vegetarian because bacon flavoured this, that and the other.
Actually, yeah, I remember working with a Jewish girl who said, why do people go on about bacon so much? I tried it and it wasn't that great. Maybe you're right, actually.
It's nice.
Because I think bacon's good. I sort of wouldn't sort of fly the flag for it, because I think it sort of speaks for itself. Who are these people?
I once had a donut with maple and bacon on the top as well, and it was nice. I think it was the mixture of salt and sweet, though. I think it's because it's really salty, isn't it? I think that's probably what people crave more than anything.
But you're not gonna be like it was a completely transcendental experience, and no. Life has never been the same again.
No,
I'm not Canadian, a lot of people once. Yeah, I upset a lot of people once when I said on a radio show that I thought that a perfect burger wouldn't have bacon in it.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. It's not necessary.
I agree. I like bacon very much, and if it's in the burger, I'm not going to get rid of it, obviously. But I wouldn't choose it as an ingredient in a perfect burger.
I might feel shortchanged, though, if I go for a nice burger and it doesn't have bacon in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you went for a bacon burger, then you'd feel a bit shortchanged.
You'd definitely get your money back.
Chris, you mentioned donuts. James Longley doesn't really rate Krispy Kreme donuts that highly. He thinks they're too messy, too sugary.
I think that Krispy Kreme donuts, I think they're very good. I think they are, you know...
They're intense.
I mean, it's one of the worst... Well, they are. I think it's one of the worst things you can put in your body that's edible. And I think that... I think, after that last bite, you sort of go, what have I done? I feel awful. Mm. And your body's going...
Your teeth feel furry and...
The lot. The absolute job lot. It feels like a weekend on the Fanta. And I think that, you know, but up until that point, they are quite magnificent, I think.
I just feel like, though, you know, you can buy a bag for £1 from, like, Sainsbury's of 6 jam donuts. Like, those will do me. I don't really need to go. You know, in Krispy Kreme, you can buy, like, a box of 12, and you just don't need 12. And people are like, oh, share them around the office. Well, you're not going to share them around the office right now, are you? Anyway. I think they're a bit overrated.
Did this chap who messaged in Chris say they were a bit messy or something? Was that one of his points?
Yeah, he said it gets all over your hands and sugar everywhere. And I'm kind of on board with that. I think I'm a messy eater.
Break with social convention, big lad, and get a knife and fork out, you know.
But donuts are messy in general. So it's not just Krispy Kreme, all donuts, you know, covered in sugar, jam squeezing out, or custard squeezing out.
But I don't think people overrate jam donuts, but I think there could be an argument that they overrate Krispy Kremes because people go on about them so much.
It's the brand thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think you're seen as more generous by bringing a big box of donuts into the office than your little bag of £1 ones?
By
the way, they're
on
sale.
If someone brings me a jam donut, I'm a happy woman.
Stick it in the microwave, it'll make it softer, it'll be fine.
I reckon in that famous book, which I've never read, How to Make Friends and Influence People, that it's not buying £1 worth of donuts and bringing it, slapping them on the table.
Do you know what? A good friend of mine once said to me, if you take donuts to a meeting, then it will, like, basically no one's ever going to be annoyed at you for doing that. So just try it.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like that would be quite, especially if they are messy donuts, that's quite a good leveler of, like, we're all there with sugar everywhere.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the bosses yeah, yeah. as well. That's a power move.
How did you defeat the power system, move. Sarah? Well, let me tell you about some donuts.
One donut at a time. We also had one other food related one from the lovely Hetty, who said, ice cream. It's just sugary milk. It's so cold it hurts your teeth. It's just weird.
You're wrong, Hetty, and that's all I'll say on that.
Definitively dealt with that.
It's not even worth
you
talking about.
You scream ice cream. We all scream for ice cream.
Oh, dear.
Ice cream is brilliant.
All right. Well, look, I knew better than to go against your beloved ice cream.
Did we have any non-food related things? Because I know food is a particularly contentious issue with this.
We had quite a few. One that I thought, this could be controversial, was Rachel Evans.
Mm-hmm.
She just chucked the entire city of Dublin in.
I mean, it is controversial.
Her
Rachel Evans said that. Of course, yes.
Her reasoning... She said, everyone hypes up how amazing Dublin is and how it's one of their favourite city breaks. They have a great night out. Then you turn up and there's not actually that much to do. Everything's insanely expensive. You can barely afford 2 drinks on a night out. It's a lovely city. But the way it's hyped up, I just thought it was going to change my life and was majorly disappointed. If no one had pre-hyped it, I would have had a much better time.
Do you know what? I think there's an element of truth in that. I went to Dublin the first time, and again, you hear people going on, it's amazing, it's brilliant. And I was a bit disappointed. And then I underrated it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
I went back a second time, and I thought, oh, actually, it's not bad. Oh my goodness, if you talk to Americans about Ireland, they think of it, if they have a drop of Irish blood anywhere
near. I'm Irish.
Yeah, exactly, all that business. They think it's the promised land. I mean, Joe Biden's, he's a bit like that as well, isn't he? So... So they very much sort of overrate it, because if you think about the you know, the continent of Europe, there's a lot of fine cities to go to. I think Ireland's a great country. I think the people make it. Yeah. I think the stereotypes are true. I don't think the Irish people are overhyped. I know this sounds ridiculous and I'm trying to sort of grovel to an entire nation. But, you know, having done in my other line of work, if you like, if you can call this work, I've done a few live shows in Dublin with some of the football things I do. And the crowds there are great. You know, you go to the pub with them after. They're a great, great bunch. They really are. But in terms of the actual city, it's all right. It's pleasant. But I don't think it is this... I don't think it's particularly great. I think some people do overrate it.
It's the people that make it. Is that what you're saying? Like, you go there.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You put all those people in another city and they'd have just as good time, because it's all about the people.
Yeah, but I'm not saying... Again, I stress, you know, with these things, just because you think something's overrated doesn't mean to say you think it's bad. So I don't think like Dublin's a crap hole or anything like that.
So much hype around it, isn't there, of like, and I think like you said, I think a lot of it is, you know, America, and they adore St. Patrick's Day and stuff like that, and it's like I think if people hadn't hyped it before she'd gone, she'd have gone there and been like, oh, this is a beautiful city, I'm having a great time, and instead you know.
And I should stress, I don't hear Irish people talking about Dublin the way a lot of other people do as well. You know, I think they kind of get a good rating on it. You know, they say it's a jolly old place, but, you know. But, I mean, I was speaking to someone recently who said they thought London was well overrated. They were a big, dirty city, a nightmare to travel around on and so on.
Fair enough. It's all right.
You know, it's horses for courses. It's all, by the way, while the island of Ireland is in our scope... I could upset a lot of Northern Irish people here.
No, let's be balanced.
Have you ever been to Giant's Causeway?
I've never been.
Lovely part of the world.
All right, Sarah. No need to do that hand gesture while you're saying that. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it exists because of a volcano that erupted.
It's officially decent.
Yeah, 50 to 60 million years ago, okay? And I like that the Gaelic legend, or Gallic legend, depending on which side of the bed you've woken up, but the Gaelic legend that has it, that the rocks were placed in the sea by a mythical giant called Finn McCool.
What a name.
They've nailed that.
Yeah.
That is not underrated, the name of that giant. That is quite
It's aged very well.
Extremely well. And these rocks were placed there, so he... could get over to Scotland to, I don't know, have a fight with a Scottish giant or something like that. and it features very highly on the list of the most beautiful places in the UK. Again, people of Northern Ireland, let me stress, I thought it was very pleasant. I thought it was very nice. I liked it. I enjoyed seeing the Giant's Causeway. But a lot of people, when I turned up, said, you know, if they'd have said, oh, yeah, see Giant's Causeway, it's lovely, you'll like it up there, then absolutely, they would have been right. And I had a great time in Northern Ireland. Beautiful country. Got friends there. Look forward to going back when bloody lockdown's finished. But when a number of people said, it's one of the most beautiful places in the world, there you go. That's it. That's the overrated nature of the place for
me. Set yourself up for failure there.
I mean, you've used the word nice, Marcus, twice in that. And no one wants it to be nice, you know. So, you know.
Call it lovely.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Say beautiful. I'm happy with beautiful. But one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Well, I'm going to jump on this bandwagon.
I've done the Inca Trail, Chris. Yeah. It's not one of the most beautiful places in the world.
on that bandwagon, I would say the Grand Canyon. Yeah. Massively overrated.
Oh, that's big. I disagree.
Big hole in the ground.
That is widely acknowledged as one of the most like stunning sights.
Yeah, overrated. It was great. But we went there, we went walking.
I disagree with you.
It's just a dusty hole in the ground. Vegas is another one I thought was overrated.
Do you know what? I went to Vegas when I was young. I was in my teens. I was about 13, 14, because my godmother lived there. So we only went for a couple of days, and then we actually went to the Grand Canyon and California and all that, so we weren't there very much. But when I went as a child, to me this was just like loads of bright lights. It was this playground. It was like incredible. But I didn't see the kind of the sadness behind the eyes of the people on those slot machines who are on it for days on end and all that kind of stuff.
The souls being sucked out as they waste away.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I think now I think it probably would be quite depressing.
I thought it was a bit dark actually, and I couldn't get.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it just felt a bit like I get I get why bloody people
strip
go.
Clubs and worse everywhere. Yeah. You know, all that
it was the vans driving around advertising you could hire girls, and I just was like, oh, this is not nice. This is a bit seedy for me. But yeah. We got there, and as you said, it was a bit like Disneyland for adults in terms of lights and attractions. But after a while, I was like, this is it. This is not. There's nothing here. It's no good.
I'd like to end with while we're in the United States of America.
Lovely country, by the way.
Yeah. It is a lovely country, and I'm not questioning that. I'm not questioning that for a second. I'm going to go out on a bit of a limb here.
Biggest hot take of the podcast so far.
I think Barack Obama as a president was overrated.
No, he's done it. He's lost us all of our American listeners.
And finally, America's great. No, I think, again, I need to stress this for my own sake. Because I'm saying that, it doesn't mean to say that I wanted the other bloke who followed him and I think he's great. Although you could argue he's overrated because there's a certain group of people who rate him very, very highly indeed. I'm very much not one of those people, okay? So there's your little disclaimer. There's the caveat. Not a fan of Trump, blah, 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 blah. But yep. I think with... Sorry?
I said thank you.
Yeah, okay. I shouldn't have to say it, but I will. But with Obama, again, but I think he's a great public speaker. Mm-hmm. I think he's very smooth and very funny. If he had a chat show, I'd watch it. Again, I think he's... I like him. But as a president, and I don't know much about American politics, and I'm on not even on thin ice, I'm flapping around in the icy cold water when I talk about these things. But what I'm basing this on is that people think of him as the guy who... You know, Spike Lee, the filmmaker, said... Everything will be now in time will be related to when Obama got in and when like almost like before Obama and after Obama. And
well, he's kind of right because of what came after.
Yeah, well, of course, and of course, if Hillary had got in, you'd had the first non-white president, and then you'd have had the first female president. And how history, with just a little flicker to in another direction, it paints a very different picture. But with Obama, I suppose what I'm looking at is, did you see the Michael Moore documentary, Fahrenheit 11-9, not 9-11, the other one, which was released in, I think, 2018? Now, I think Michael Moore's, I think he's done some interesting documentaries. I'm not one of these people who think he's the truth. And this, you know, sort of particular sort of genius or anything, but I think he's done some decent works here and there. And he talks about the Flint water crisis, which with these people in the town, you know, I still think it's going on. They can't drink their water. And Obama turns up and they think, oh, brilliant, we've got the president involved. We're sorted and it's Obama.
Yeah.
And he does nothing. And he stands on the stage in front of them all. And he said, yeah, basically he gives it the big Obama chat, you know, what he's like in the hype machine. And, hey, I'm here, guys. Woohoo. And then he's handed a glass of the water and he goes, see, that's totally fine. And he goes to take a sip of it. The water touches his lips. He doesn't actually take anything and goes, so, yeah, no, it's totally fine. I've had a word with everybody. No, nothing to worry about here. And then rides out of town. And they're all just gobsmacked.
Yeah.
And again, I understand that no president or prime minister or whoever is going to be perfect, but I think that sometimes the hype of who he is personally and the public speaker and all, like I say, it doesn't mean to say I voted. Well, I don't vote at all. I'm not an American citizen. And if you voted for Obama, I would have done when I was there. But I, again, slightly overrated.
Yeah,
I think that was a classic case of putting somebody, anybody, especially a political leader, but any human being on a pedestal. And believe it, you know, and I understand why people had hope for him and he did lots of great stuff and you know, to acknowledge all of that. But he was never going to be perfect and he was never going to fix all the problems and was you're kind of doomed from the outset if people think that you are the savior.
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, that's it. It's the overhyping. It's the overrating.
Exactly.
That's what we're cracking down on here. Not saying he was a bad president necessarily, because again, I'm not. I just don't know enough to say that, and I suspect he wasn't, especially, you know, seeing what came after.
I mean,
you could argue
for me though. I know what you're saying. It's the system, isn't it? Like as you said, Sarah. Yeah. You know, you stick anybody in that system or on a pedestal, and they're just never going to fulfill the expectations. And that's what you're saying, isn't it, Marcus? Like. There was such high expectations before and after Obama, you know, his whole riding in on a sort of the ticket of change, and then nothing seemed to really change, and it just leaves you feeling a bit flat.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that Tony Blair would be our equivalent, I suppose. You could say that. Britannia. Cool Britannia. Come on.
Yeah. D-reams. Things can only get better. They were the days.
If only we'd known.
And it's still relevant. Things can only get better. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. Do get in touch with us on Twitter and Insta at AQQAPod is where we are. But until next week, thank you very much, Sam.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, good listeners. See you next week.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.